And we move to Lindell versus Hauser. Mr. Renfro, Sergeant.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. My name is Hannah Renfro, Sergeant, and I represent the appellant, Mr. Nathaniel Lindell. If it may, Your Honors, I would like to devote most of my time, or all of my time this morning, to the District Court's summary judgment decision. The summary judgment decision relates to the second assault that's at issue in this case, the assault by Mr. Darrell Jenkins. Your Honor, summary judgment was improperly granted to Sergeant Burns primarily because the record contains several material disputed issues of fact. All of these facts are detailed in our briefs, but I want to focus on a few this morning. The first is that Officer Friday corroborated Mr. Lindell's statement to Sergeant Burns that he had been previously involved in a violent conflict with a member of the Gangster Disciples, Mr. Antoine De La Rosa. And that Antoine De La Rosa, that Darrell Jenkins was also a member of the gang, the Gangster Disciples. The second fact is that Mr. Lindell told Sergeant Burns he feared being placed in the cell with Mr. Jenkins because of these violent conflicts, these previous violent conflicts with members of the Gangster Disciples.
How long was he in the cell with Jenkins before the altercation occurred?
About 10 minutes. And the third dispute...
And the timing in terms of this De La Rosa incident, this was in April of 99, and this second incident was December of 2000.
Yes, Your Honor. And that lapse of time issue, though, Mr. Lindell told Sergeant Burns immediately before he was placed in the cell with Mr. Jenkins that his safety was at risk by being placed in that cell. And in that 18-month period of time, a large portion of it, Mr. Lindell spent in segregation, and he was, in fact, being transferred from segregation to Mr. Jenkins' cell.
Now, you agree that he has no right to be celled with someone who's similarly... somebody who's in the Aryan Nation. He doesn't have a right to have a white supremacist cellmate if the prison is crowded and you have to double cell people. You agree with that?
I do agree with that.
And he has an alternative of being in segregation, and that was offered to him.
What Sergeant Burns told Mr. Lindell was either go to the cell with Mr. Jenkins or you will be punished and be sent to segregation. It was not offered to him as an alternative. Mr. Lindell did not understand that to be an alternative to him, but that he would be punished.
Well, there's probably very few people that know as much about the prison system as Mr. Lindell. He's a world champion jailhouse lawyer litigator, isn't he?
He's had a few cases, Your Honor.
Yeah, I'd say he has. He's kept the judges in Wisconsin pretty busy. But, isn't that the alternative? If you're, it sort of creates problems for when you're a member, when you're a avowed white supremacist in a prison, and he has no right to be celled with a wing of only white supremacists or something. So he gets into these difficulties.
Well, but this case is not just about a white supremacist being placed in a cell with an African-American inmate. This is a case about a white supremacist, a renowned white supremacist, being placed in a cell with an African-American inmate who's a member of the Gangster Disciples. And
here's the problem I have. As I understand the whole prison system, just about everybody's in a gang of one kind or another, and all the gangs are, or many of the gangs are based on racial grouping. So the prison would never be able to place anybody, I don't think he's that unique you know, in terms of just being a member of the Aryan Nation, we know the preference is not to be housed with somebody who's not a member of the Aryan Nation. How does a prison address this issue? And there is no right to be with the same member of your racial or ethnic group.
Right. The prison addresses this issue like it addresses all cell placement issues. And the point is that in this case, Mr. Lindell, in March of 1999, had assaulted Gregory Postan with a weapon. And Gregory Postan was a member of the Gangster Disciples. And a month later, he was placed in the cell with Mr. De La Rosa, also a member of the Gangster Disciples.
And so who moved first? This Lindell took some action against... Could you say the names again?
Gregory Postan.
Yes.
Mr. Lindell was accused of assaulting him in a prison library in March of 1999, and he was also a member of the Gangster Disciples. Mm-hmm. And it was after that incident that rumors started around the prison, as Mr. Lindell alleged in his complaint, that Mr. Lindell had attacked Mr. Postan because Mr. Lindell was a racist. There were accusations regarding Hitler's birthday, etc. And he was placed in segregation as a result of this fight. And during his time in segregation, inmates, including Mr. De La Rosa, had threatened Mr. Lindell that if he were placed in the cell with him, that he was going to get beat up. And prison officials were present during those threats. So this case is not just about a white inmate being placed in a cell with a black inmate. This is a case about specific threats that were made to Mr. Lindell. And as far as Sergeant Burns' awareness of this risk, another disputed fact in the record is that Sergeant Burns told Mr. Lindell that he knew that Mr. Lindell hated Jenkins' quote-unquote kind and knew that Mr. Lindell had these previous conflicts with the Gangster Disciples. Now, these sort of disputed facts, they represent a swearing contest, which required credibility determinations, which should have been made by a jury. And if a jury had believed Lindell's side of the story, then these facts are sufficient to state an Eighth Amendment claim because they showed that Sergeant Burns was aware that a particularized risk existed to Mr. Lindell. They existed because of Mr. Lindell's characteristics, because of Mr. Lindell's history, and Mr. Jenkins' characteristics as a member of the Gangster Disciples. In a recent case, Brown...
Well, I'm just wondering how you run a prison when you talk about his characteristics. Mm-hmm. If he is an avowed white supremacist, and he makes those... He wears that as a badge of honor in prison. How do you protect him, or what are your obligations to protect him if you're running the prison? How do you do it?
I think the prison has to take into account each cell placement that it makes. In this case, Mr. Lindell went to Sergeant Burns and told him that I fear being placed in a cell with this guy. I've had previous conflicts with members of the Gangster Disciples. And it wasn't just that
Well, let's not talk about this case. How do you do it? Mm-hmm. They're out in the yard, or they're in the cafeteria or something. You're running the prison. How would you minimize the... danger of one group attacking another, or a group of people, or, you know, the stronger gangster disciple attacking the Aryan, or the stronger Aryan attacking the black gangster disciple?
Well, I'm not going to pretend like I know how to run a prison, but I think that what prisons can't do is to place inmate safety at risk by seeing whether this racially based hostility can be subsided while two inmates are forced to live in quarters that are much closer than I would venture to guess anyone in this courtroom can imagine. I see that I'm in my rebuttal time, which I'd like to reserve.
Thanks.
May it please the court. My name is Francis X. Sullivan. I'm Assistant Attorney General for the state of Wisconsin, and I'm here representing the state employee defendants in this action. Ms. Renfro Sargent made a very telling comment at the end of her argument, which was that she's not going to pretend that she knows how to run a prison. What's important to remember here is that there are people who do know how to run a prison. Those people are the ones who are running the prison.
Something happened in Los Angeles recently where there's racial conflict between Hispanics and African Americans. You aware of that? That's because they're prohibited in that particular prison system and across the country from separating based on race.
Yes, sir. I'm aware of that generally. I'm not aware of the specific incident. But there are very severe problems, beginning with 14th Amendment problems and going from there, of separating prisoners solely on basis of race. In this case, what's happening is that Mr. Lindell wants to choose his statement, or choose his cellmate. The court looks at the complaint he filed. It's replete with references to his racial pride, to his assertion that he is entitled because of his psychological difficulties to be celled with somebody that he, quote, gets along with. Here, if one assumes that the allegations that Mr. Lindell made are true, there is a span of approximately 18 months between the fight with Mr. De La Rosa and the fight with Mr. Jenkins. During that time, Lindell spent some of the time in segregation, but he did not spend all the time in segregation, and I don't think the record tells us exactly how much time he did or didn't spend. What's clear, though, from the Lewis case is that one of the factors to be considered in the analysis of whether the guard was subjectively aware of a threat to Mr. Lindell is the amount of time that's passed between the conflict. There's two reasons for that. First of all is that if there's been no conflict for a long period of time, one can safely assume
he was in segregation for a long time, wasn't he?
I don't think the record tells us exactly how long.
I thought after the first fight, the second fight, he was in for quite a while.
I think he got, if my memory serves me right, Your Honor, I think he got 180 days program seg after the De La Rosa fight, so 6 months. And I do not want to tell the court whether he was in segregation at other times as well. I assume he must have been because he was coming out of segregation, but I don't think we know how long he was in segregation and how long he wasn't. The other factor that plays into that, Your Honors, is that grievances dissipate over time. I have children. What's a big deal in the morning may not be a big deal at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. If the gangster disciples really did have this grudge against Lindell, if they really did want to get him, it's reasonable to assume that over 18 months they have slipped their minds, that other things may have intruded, that quite simply that Lindell was not a priority for them. It's also important to realize that there's no allegation whatsoever that Mr. Jenkins' alleged gang membership played any role in this fight. If you look at the disputed facts that that Lindell's counsel brings up, they all show a threat to Jenkins, not to Lindell. Jenkins is not the plaintiff here. Allegedly, and of course we don't admit this, but allegedly Sergeant Burns told Lindell, "We know that you hate Jenkins's kind." Allegedly, Sergeant Burns gave him a stapler and said, "Take care of him for us." What that's showing, and assuming, and it's summary judgment, so we have to, assuming those statements are true, it's showing a threat to Jenkins, not to Lindell. We have to also look at the course of action. We have to look at what took place when Lindell came to Burns. He brought with him a transfer document. Transfer document showed no restrictions on cell placement. Lindell told Sergeant Burns, "I have a mental health restriction. I can't be double-celled." Sergeant Burns said, "Let me check." Got on the phone, called the mental health department. They said, "No, not true." Sergeant Burns says, "Go down to your cell." Lindell goes down to the cell, looks in, comes back, and says, "I have three problems with Mr. Jenkins. Number one, he's black. Number two, he smokes. And number three, he's a gang member. There is nothing in the record that shows that Lindell is saying, Jenkins is a specific threat to me. This guy in this time is going to hurt me. We have to look, because this is an Eighth Amendment deliberate indifference case, at whether Sergeant Burns was deliberately indifferent to a serious risk of harm. And deliberate indifference is a high standard. It requires Sergeant Burns to have known that if he sent Lindell down to that cell, something was going to happen to Lindell that shouldn't happen. There's nothing in the record that supports that conclusion. Unless the court has questions.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you, Your Honors.
How much time? You have 1 minute.
Thank you, Your Honors. I have a few points that I want to make. First of all, Mr. Lindell, under Eighth Amendment law of this circuit, is not required to show that Mr. Jenkins himself threatened Mr. Lindell. Second point is that this case is not about an inmate wanting to choose a particular inmate. This case is not about racially segregating all inmates. And this case is not about children's grievances. This case is about an assault, two assaults that occurred to Mr. Lindell. This case is about a potential loss of life. And with respect to the Equal Protection Clause that was raised by counsel, prison officials cannot rely on the Equal Protection Clause when they deliberately fail to protect an inmate of one race from an inmate of another race. I respectfully request that this court reverse the district court's summary judgment decision in the decision at the screening stage related to Mr. Lindell's failure to protect claims in the appointment of counsel claim.
Thank you, Ms. Renfro, Sergeant.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Case will be taken under advisement.
Before you leave,
sorry.
You